Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I am a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates was founded in 1990, and we specialize in both domestic and international adoption. We provide pregnancy and adoption services throughout all of Michigan, with offices located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw. Anywhere in Michigan, you can find a connection to Adoption Associates. Adoption Associates brings knowledge, support, and understanding in adoption. Adoption is not only our specialty, but it is our passion. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this radio show to help educate and support adoptive families, birth families, and the adoption community at large. So we're very glad that you are tuned in with us today. If you'd like to call in during the show with questions or comments, we would encourage that at 347-850-1100. Again, the number to call in is 347-850-1100. And I'm excited to introduce today's guest, Teresa Coventry. Teresa, are you with us?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being with us today. And so you're going to share with our listening audience a little bit about your personal story with adoption, but more specifically, how you came to choose Adoption Associates as your agency. So thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. And I know that you have your little one at home today. So we will give you lots of patience as you may need to step in and out to help him out.
Great. Thank you.
So how long had you and your husband, Chris, been thinking about adoption before you kind of either made the call or took the first step?
Well, Jennifer, we really hadn't been thinking about it that much prior to contacting Adoption Associates. We had some family issues in the years after our biological daughter was born, and it took us a while to kind of realize, hey, she's still an only child. So at that point, we, you know, explored some medical options and decided that wasn't the route to go, and we didn't really know anybody who had adopted. I have a cousin who was adopted, but like 50 years ago, and things were completely mm-hmm. different then. And we happened to see an ad in the paper for Adoption Associates. There was a phone number for us to contact and set up a meeting for additional information. And I just kind of said to Chris, you know, my husband, I think I want to look into this. I think I need to, when all is said and done, however this ends up, I think I need to know that we've explored every option.
Right.
And so we made the call and met with Adoption Associates.
So that was your first step and really kind of happenstance, it sounds like, right? Seeing something
yes.
in the paper about an upcoming meeting.
Yes.
So you attended the meeting, and tell us a little bit about that, what that process was like, or what happened with you and your husband at that point.
Well, I met with you and Nancy Cannon, and we really didn't know what to expect. We didn't know what questions to ask. We were strictly information gathering. And mm-hmm. when we went to that meeting, I think there was one other person there, but I can't remember. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We were just blown away with the amount of information you all provided, with your level of knowledge and professionalism, and we were kind of surprised and not, I guess, that we were going in with the idea that you were all going to be slackers. But we really just didn't know what to expect. We really, going into that meeting, we really felt like we were just checking a box.
Okay.
And we were pleasantly surprised to say, hey, I think this is something we want to pursue, and these are definitely the people we want to pursue it with.
So you weren't really planning in your mind, I guess, when you entered that meeting, that this was going to go anywhere. You were just doing it because you felt like it's something you needed to do to feel okay about whatever decision you made for your family ultimately, right?
Absolutely, yes. I needed to know that we had looked at all of our options before I could fully accept, okay, this is God had a plan for us to be a three-people family. Once I know we've looked at everything, I'll be okay with that. But I'm the kind of person where if I don't do that research and we just make a decision, it's always going to nag in the back of my mind, what if?
Sure,
so
sure.
That's where we were at going in, and the meeting really changed our minds.
So what were your initial concerns or reservations when entering, you know, the first meeting?
Well, again, we were pretty uneducated and naive, so we went in not really even knowing what we didn't know, not knowing the questions to ask. So we were just kind of going in hoping to gain some information into how the adoption process was at that point in time. You know, certainly, I guess cost was one of the factors. We just had no idea. So, and then as we learned more, we had some ideas and questions and concerns along the way. But in that initial process, we really just wanted to say, to see, is this something we could see us using to grow our family.
So, and ultimately you did decide to move forward with adoption, and you moved into the home study process and the phase of that. So how was that experience for you, you know, coming to the table, like you said, not knowing what you didn't know, what you didn't know, what was it like compared to what you might have imagined it would be, and what are your thoughts about that that you think other people should understand?
Well, I would say it seemed like a pretty lengthy process. And again, we had no idea, but it took us probably, I think our meeting was in August or September, and I think we didn't go live with our profile until the beginning of that next year. And I wasn't aware of all the, you know, reference letters. I must have rewritten our profile 50 times. We wanted it to be just perfect and to find the perfect photos. And, you know, that was a time-consuming process. So I think the whole process was kind of a period of excitement and yet frustration at the waiting. And really, in the end, it wasn't that long of a wait, you know, what, 8-10 weeks to get everything compiled and be ready to have birth mothers take a look at our profile. But it just, once you're excited and you want to go forward, you know, I just remember that feeling of, oh, geez Louise, there's so much to do and it's taking forever.
Right, right. And that's an interesting point that you make, because we refer to adoption as a journey because it is a process rather than a destination. And sometimes that process is smooth sailing, but for other times, or for other people, it can be challenging at times as well. So would you mind sharing if there were highs and lows for you and Chris during your adoption? And if indeed that's the case, how did you navigate those times?
Well, sure. Definitely there were highs and lows. I would say on the continuum, as I mentioned, we started out being very excited about the process and, you know, all gung-ho, we're going to do everything we have to do. And, you know, during those initial weeks of putting everything together, I remember thinking, holy moly, there's a lot of training, and I didn't really understand the point of all of that necessarily at the time. And then about 9 months in, we were linked with a birth mother, and it was going to be a semi-open adoption. And so we had some contact with her. We went to where she lived and met with her on a couple of occasions, took her to a doctor's appointment. And in the end, that adoption fell through. She changed her mind once the baby was born. Mm-hmm. And certainly we went through a period of grief. I remember having to come home and tell our daughter that the baby wasn't mm-hmm. with us. And that was pretty tough. And
sure.
then I went through a lot of anger because I kind of realized during the day that she changed her mind what was going on. And I'll be honest, today, almost 5 years later, I still kind of kick myself. And yet the agency had coached me what was and wasn't appropriate to say. But I really kind of wish I would have let her know that I knew she changed her mind. Not that it would have changed anything, and not, I'm not saying I wish that I was mean or nasty or anything, but it just has always kind of weighed on my mind that they made this decision that we just had to blindly accept, and I never got to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little bit of a frustration for me. But then, we went along, and I don't know, a year, couple years later, I was at school waiting for my daughter's after-school running program, and I had been talking to you via text, voice, email, and then you called me and said I needed to call the main office, and I didn't think anything of it, honestly, because I thought, oh, we haven't paid something or something. Well, no, that was the day that we got the news that there was a little boy. Would we be interested in picking him up from the hospital? And, yeah, we jumped right into that. And so that was another high, getting to meet our son. And then the process for us to gain permanent custody took a bit longer than we would have liked. So we got the call in March, and we got permanent custody in May, and then our final adoption decree came in December, in fact, New Year, Christmas Eve, so best present ever. And, you know, from then it's all been uphill. I mean, you look back and you think this was the child we absolutely were supposed to have. He's been just a crazy joy in every way, so none of the lows even matter anymore.
It's kind of just
part of the journey that brought us to our complete, and in my mind, perfect family.
Nice, nice. And I like the way you described that. It's obvious, you know, when you talk about the initial days of excitement, making, you know, the decision to move forward with an adoption and selecting the agency that you plan to use, and then kind of some of the surprise and frustration with the process of being ready then to have a profile and, you know, then a failed adoption as well with a fall through and then an adoption that is successful with the little boy that you're parenting now. So the highs and lows obviously were there for you. And you described that real well. How crucial would you say during those ups and downs and during this period of time was the support of the agency? And maybe we need to back up. I apologize. How long total from the time that you had an active profile with the agency until you adopted your son? What was that time frame?
Well, I think of it in terms of our daughter, and she was in first grade at the time that our profile went live. She was in second grade when the fall through happened, and then she was in fourth grade when we gained permanent custody of our son. So a little over 3 years.
Okay. So obviously, and you're probably just scratching the surface here regarding the highs and the lows and the emotions that you and your husband must have gone through during this time period. Again, during this journey, how crucial or important was agency support, or what role do you feel that played for you guys?
Well, I think it was important. And not just the phone calls and email contact we had with the birth mother caseworker and our caseworker, but kind of the foundation of things you had us go through. Like, for example, the training classes. You know, as we were trying to get everything ready for our adoption profile, I'll be honest, I thought those were kind of a pain in the pain. because I didn't understand in terms of having an actual child. I'm a practical applications person, so I don't always understand why I'm doing something until I can apply it. So, for example, one of the trainings focused on language and how you talk to the child and to everyone in your life, the language, the terminology you want to use to always portray the adoption in a positive light.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're sitting in a class listening to someone give you that training, it's a little like, yep, 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 this is common sense. But then when you have a child placed with you, and in our case, we only told immediate family and very closest of friends prior to our permanent custody that we were pursuing adoption.
Right.
So we didn't have any experience with talking to people about the process up until that point. And then when we kind of said, oh, by the way, we've been granted physical custody of this baby boy, then the dialogue started, and that's when it really was critical to me, the foundation that the agency had laid. It helped me be a lot stronger in dealing with people and maybe their misconceptions or maybe their thoughtless comments. So in that regard, I feel like the agency was critical.
I think that's a really important factor, and I'm glad that you mentioned that because you weren't alone, you know, in the early days of just like, why must we do all of this? Aren't there children that need homes, and why can't we just move through this process quicker? Because it's not about diapering and burping. We know that everybody can either already knows that or can figure that out, but giving you the tools that you need to be successful for your child's lifetime, and the adoption related issues and the grief associated with adoption. So I'm so, so glad that you brought that up because many people ask those same questions or feel the same way that you're reporting you felt as well. I think you had something else. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to mention that one of the other classes for me that made a big impact was the biracial training. And it really made me take a look at the environment we would be bringing a child into. And quite honestly, hearing the speakers, both of whom were biracial folks who had been adopted, you know, both of them said, we love our family dearly, but it was really tough being different. Everywhere we went, our skin color was not the same, and we got looks. And that training made a big, big impact on me.
Right.
So.
And for our families that are, you know, choosing transracial adoption, obviously that's an issue that they have to be ready to confront, and they are, and the agency assists them in understanding what that means and how to do that so that it's a healthy environment for children. Good point. You mentioned in the beginning that you had very few expectations, you know, when you went to that first meeting and you didn't even know what, if anything, to ask. And now you've been through the process. You've done it all. And so I'm wondering, what's the advice you would give to others now in retrospect? You can see for yourself and your husband from that first meeting through the ups and the downs to where you are now. What advice or information would you like to pass on to other people?
Well, for me personally, and I think my husband as well, we felt it was really important that we for lack of a better word, click with our caseworker, because there's so much information to be given. It's just such an emotional process, you know, that we needed to feel comfortable with our caseworker. We needed to trust our caseworker. And, you know, there were times when we might have had some crazy expectation. Like, I can remember filling out one of the forms about would we be willing to accept a biracial child, and we didn't know how to, there was something on there that we didn't know how to fill out, and so we put in a percentage, like, you know, 50% Caucasian, 50% something else. And I remember you kind of saying to me, no, that's not really what we were asking there. You're all in or you're not. And it, because of the relationship and the fact that I felt like we clicked, you know, that was fine. I needed to know that, and it wasn't, you know, anybody stepping on my toes. I didn't feel offended, that sort of thing. So that was one of the things. Look for somebody, you know, if you walk into a meeting and you just think, oh my gosh, this person is a jerk, you know, leave, because they need to know personal information. I mean, your background checked, your finances have to be provided. You want someone you click with and you trust.
Right.
The second thing I would say is find an agency who wants you to get educated. The classes were really helpful in hindsight. Like I said, I didn't appreciate it at the time, but since we've had our placement, I don't think there's anything I haven't used. So I feel like that's key. And then third, and maybe this isn't the best order, but I would say it's important to have transparency. If you ask a question of your caseworker, of someone at the agency, they should be able to give you an honest, detailed response. So I don't know if there are agencies who don't do that, but I would say if you get into a situation where you ask a question and they don't want to tell you the answer, or they're kind of hemming and hawing about it, maybe the cost, for example, you know, if that's something that is critical to a family and you run into an agency who's like, oh, you know, it'll be in the range of $3,000 to $5,000. Don't worry about it. Run out of that place. So I think those would be my three things that, in hindsight, I would say I feel are critical.
Very good. And I think, you know, speaking on the other side here for you guys, one thing that helped you guys, and that I would want to encourage other families as well when they're beginning their adoptions, is the open and honest attitude that you and Chris had are also what helped you during your period of adoption. Good communication, asking questions, re-asking questions until you get the answers, and then going with that gut instinct that I think you were just talking about is real important too. As is passion. So many of the staff within Adoption Associates, all of our staff are passionate about what we do. Adoption is just not something that we do 9 to 5. It's something that we believe in. And it's been my pleasure, Teresa, to watch your family grow and to watch you and Chris add another child to your family. And I am really appreciative of you being with us today. We're nearing the end of the show, so I wasn't sure if there was anything else that we didn't cover that you felt like we should say before we wrap up.
I can't really think of anything. I want to, you know, second your comment about the agency staff all being very passionate about adoption. We really felt that, and that was probably part of that clicking that I mentioned. It was always just a very positive thing, and not that, as I mentioned before, we had a negative connotation or experience with adoption. We didn't know what to expect, and so to have everything presented in such a can-do, positive, it's an awesome thing to do, you know, that was really helpful.
Nice, nice. Thank you. Thank you for your wonderful comments and for your time today. And for those of you listening in, please remember that we are live every Tuesday at 11, and I hope that you will join us next week when we'll be speaking with Jessica, who has a very interesting story of her and her husband's journey through international adoption. That will be one that you won't want to miss. If you would like to connect with Adoption Associates, please call us at 800-677-2367. We'd be more than happy to answer any questions you have about the adoption process. Or there's a wealth of information also on our website at adoptionassociates.net. For now, this is Jennifer with Adoption Focus. Hope to have you listen in again next week. Thanks again, Teresa.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone. Have a great day.
Bye.